Productivity Cult. This is Burnout Truth number 16. This is what we are exploring today. Productivity Cult, what it really means. It is the cultural obsession with output over well-being. How to spot it? This looks like busy equals worthy. Hustles equals honor and rest equals guilt. And this matters because burnout isn't a glitch here. It's a feature. This is Burnout Truth number 16, Productivity Cult. And this is Burnoutology, the podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist. Over the last decade, I have coached over 700 leaders through burnout and I've trained coaches from 14 countries in how to be burnout aware. My first burnout made me really seriously ill and my second nearly killed me. Never, ever, ever did I imagine that burnout would be the day job, that it would be the stuff that I was talking on podcasts and on stages and working on and with and studying and researching every single day. And yet here we are. And every week, some of these thoughts and truths, this unscripted, uncut, unedited truth comes to you by way of podcast every single Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. UK time, to talk about some of these truths, to unpick it, to hopefully talk about some of the reality of what we're seeing, some of the toxicity, some of the misinformation and miscommunication that's out there about burnout so that we can unpick it, right? Get more burnout literate, start to become more burnout aware. And as coaches, and or as leaders, or maybe as an individual that is experiencing this stuff, hopefully this podcast is giving you a different way of thinking about things to allow you to create the change. That's where we are today. Burnout Truth number 16 is where we're at today. 16 out of 200. I say it every single week. I don't know if we'll ever get to 200. That's a lot of episodes. And I do sometimes think, have I got all of the information to back? So obviously I have. I jokingly say that I can talk about this stuff, not just until this Christmas, but until next Christmas, with all of the learning and the information and the dot joining and the client examples and my own lived experience and all of this work. I can literally, in fact, I can probably talk about it for longer than that. So I'm sure I've got everything that we need to go. But today, let's talk about productivity cult, what it really means. It's the cultural obsession with output over well-being. How to spot it. Is when busy equals worthy, when hustle equals honour, and when rest equals guilt. And it matters because burnout isn't a glitch here. It's a feature. And I think for many of us, it is a feature that we're all becoming a little bit proud of, right? We're wearing burnout like it's a badge of honour. We're flaunting and comparing how busy we are with one another because we think busy makes us important. We're comparing how stressed we are because if I'm more stressed than you, then clearly I must be more successful. And if I dare to take time off to look after myself, then clearly I'm just not running a very successful business, right? Or I'm not very good at my job. Because if I were good at my job and also running and or depending on who you are, maybe you're employed and looking to escape some of this stuff, or maybe you're already running your own business. But really the thinking is, right, if you've got time to be doing stuff, then, you know, if you've got time to be resting rather, then clearly you're just not that great. Because you wouldn't have time to rest if you were successful or busy, would you? You'd be too busy doing all of the stuff that needs to be done. Isn't that how we think about it? There's a couple of examples here, just as I was kind of doing the intro of this. Now, as I said, this podcast, uncut, unscripted, unedited. And literally all I've got is like the title, right? Productivity Cult, what it really means, how to spot it and why it matters. That's as much as my notes spread for this. But even as I was talking about this one, just doing the one-liner, right? What it really means, the cultural obsession with output over well-being. It reminded me about a short story or an experience, an anecdote that I told on one of my last weekly LinkedIn lives that I did just before I went off for my operation. And so that's what's come to mind. So that's what I'm going to share with you. I was a year or two into my business. So I'd left corporate, Still finding my feet. I think when we leave, definitely, well, not think. Leaving corporate and leaving any employment and starting your own business is definitely a culture shock and a half anyway. We have to unlearn a lot of stuff, right? We have to unlearn lots and lots and lots of things. And we have to unlearn the busy for busy sake, because we can all be busy. We can all keep stuff going. But actually, when it is your business, right, when you know that ultimately, right, if you're not working, you're not earning. And over the last 12 months, I've really, really, really had to scale down all of the delivery that I'm doing because I've had these health issues whilst I've been waiting for this operation. Now, for me, I will say in a lot of ways that has significantly worked in my favour. But again, when I started, the mindset, the thinking was that I needed to be doing all of the doing. And I was doing a lot of the doing. And there was also this thinking that if I was prepared to put all of these hours in for somebody else to earn a salary, then clearly if it's my own business, I've got to work even harder and do even more hours, right? And so, you know, I'd be at breakfast networking, then I'd be working all day. I'd be having meetings and coffees and client meetings and doing proposals and creating. And then at some point during the week, doing the delivery. And then I was a marketer. I was my own tech support. I was an accountant. I was also, because you put on all these hats, right? Because you think, well, I can't afford to outsource straight away. I've got to do all this stuff myself. And then I find myself wasting time and money doing stuff that I'm definitely not qualified enough to be doing. So we go through all these patterns, all of these cycles. But so I was a couple of years in, and I've met this coach at a networking event, and I know that she's desperate to work with me as one of her clients, right? She's promoting herself as a mindset coach for women in business, right? She's going to help us sort all of the negativity out that's in our heads. And we last week we were talking about positivity poisoning, weren't we? So I knew she was pitching me, but we're having this conversation, and I had just agreed to write a book. My friend Jo, who's sadly no longer with us, but my friend Jo was in the process. She was just about to publish her book as part of the What's Your Excuse series. And Jo's book was about financial well-being. And just so happens it included her business name. But her book was What's Your Excuse for Not Being Better with Money? And she'd started her business Better with Money. And the publisher, the editor, were looking for somebody to write a book on stress. And my friend Jo said, okay, get Kelly. So with the learning that I'd done, lots of people out there tell us that we need to be stress-free. Right, everybody needs to be stress-free. We just need to live a stress-free life. None of us want to be stress-free, trust me. Even when you're in the most stressful situation, none of us want to be stress-free. We all need stress. We need stress to get us out of bed in the morning, to motivate us, to get us across the finish line, to help us with kids, family members, jobs, clients. We all need an element of stress. What we don't need is toxic levels of stress that are going to cause us serious harm. So I've been asked to write this book, and I'd started to write the book, and I'm sat having this conversation with this coach, and I tell her about this book, and her initial reaction, I'd already known I was not going to be coaching with her, but this for me was like the sigh that, yeah, this is not the woman for you. Her initial response was, clearly your business isn't that successful if you've got time to write a book. They were the words out of her mouth, right? Clearly your business isn't that successful if you've got time to write a book, because that was her thinking. If I had time to write a book, clearly I didn't have to, you know, I wasn't working with clients, I wasn't bringing any money, I wasn't doing it. Now, I've never been an hourly rate kind of coach or consultant in the first place. If you are, that's not, you know, that's not a dig, but that's just never been me. And I also learned very, 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 very quickly, initially, even before I started my business, I was like, as long as I can replace my corporate salary every year, I'll be happy, right? That's what I was thinking. So do you know what I did? I looked at my annual salary and I divided my annual salary by 12. And I said, that's what I need to be earning every month, right? Because I divided my annual salary by 12. So I thought, that's what I need to be earning every month. And then I divided that monthly salary by week. This is what I need to be earning every week. This is the new business that I need. These are the leads. This is what I need to be doing. But I gave myself a day rate initially, right? This is what my day rate is based on. What I hadn't taken into account was that there's probably only 2 or 3 days a week that I can do any delivery. Because for the other 2 days, I'm either having to find business or I'm having to do all the rest of the admin around the business. So it's probably 2 or 3 days a week. But I hadn't then taken into account, what if you want a holiday? What if you need some sick days? What if your sons are ill and you can't work? Because I hadn't factored in, get my words right, hadn't factored in sick pay, holiday pay, pension. Hadn't factored in tax, corporation tax, all of the lovely stuff that we hate paying, but that we need to factor into it. I was like, this is my day rate plus VAT. But of course, I wasn't VAT registered at the beginning, but still, there were still taxes that needed to be paid. If I wanted a salary, there was still stuff that needed to be paid. All of those things that I just hadn't factored in that early on. And I very, very then quickly doubled my day rate to allow for some of that stuff. And then I doubled it again. And then I doubled it again. And with my coaching, I was really clear. You don't, like, for some of my packages, yes, it looks like you're an hourly paid, but like you're paying a lot of money every hour. Right? The training that I do, lots of people are still telling me it probably should probably be double the price. And maybe it should still be double the price, but I'm happy with what I've got, as long, I need to keep the numbers coming. But the thinking for this coach was, my business clearly couldn't be a success if I had time to write the book. And this is a trap that so many people fall into, right? Because busy equals worthy. I think I touched on this last week or the week before as well, didn't I? Right? We're all competing on busyness. Hi, how are you today? Oh my God, I'm so busy, Kelly, you wouldn't believe. Oh my God, me too. Hi, how are you today? Oh my God, I'm so stressed, Kelly. Oh my God, me too. Like, let me tell you all the things that are stressing me out. How are you, Kelly? Oh my God, like I'm on the brink of burnout. Oh my God, me too. Like, we're all feeling that way. Like, you should just get on with it. We're all busy. We're all doing this stuff. We're all feeling it. We've all got to knuckle down and get this project. Like, that's how we talk to each other. How many times have you seen, even just this week, how many times have you seen a post or something on any of your social feeds or in your emails that's talking to you basically about hustling harder? Got to hustle harder. And do you know why everyone's marketing that at the minute? Because we're in the last few weeks of the year now, aren't we? So if you want to smash your goals, get the new job, get the business, get the clients, if you want to do this stuff, you've got to hustle harder, right? Hustle until the end of the year because this is the way that you're going to do it. And if you dare find the time to write a book, complete a master's accreditation, consider doing your PhD. If you dare take time off just because you want a day off, or you want to go to the gym, or you want to go to a yoga retreat every Monday, or like if you, oh my, well, clearly you're not successful enough, right? Because success clearly means stay busy, hustle harder, and rest. If you're taking rest, they're like, what are you doing? And then, so it's no wonder that if we do take some time off, even if we want to sit and have a cup of tea, sometimes the guilt that is attached to stopping just for 10 minutes is huge. Because we have got this cultural obsession with output and more and growth, and we have put all of that stuff and all of that output and all of that doing, we've put all of that ahead of well-being. Starting to feel a bit run down? Well, there's only a few weeks left until the end of the year. Just keep going until Christmas. Starting to feel like you're running on empty. Oh, dig deep, dig deep. Not long to go now. Soon be Christmas. Then you can take some time off. Not long to go now. Yeah, just keep going, keep going, keep going. And then make your changes for the start of next year. Starting to feel a bit run down, not sleeping properly, daylight hours are changing, all sorts of, well, certainly here in the UK, and it's different for some of you that listen in different parts of the world, but like, this is where we got to, oh, like energy draining, keep on going. Find a way, like drink more coffee. I saw, again, there was something that came up on my feed the other week, like caffeine supplements for busy business owners. I was like, are you kidding me? Now, again, here's a confession. In the, and I got stopped going into a club with these once. But to get me through my A-levels, not necessarily because I needed to get through my A-levels, but because I was out or with friends 6 nights a week. The only night we stayed in was a Tuesday. And that might be, we just go to the pub to do a quiz. It might be, we're just going out for dinner. But at least 4 nights a week, we were out clubbing. I spent a large proportion of the last years of my A-levels taking caffeine tablets just to stay awake. Didn't drink coffee, didn't really drink tea, but caffeine tablets. Didn't do me any good at all whatsoever. And now all of these years later, what, 20 odd years later, maybe closer to 30 years later, that's scary as hell, isn't it? But closer to 30 years later, we're advertising, I'm seeing them on my feed, caffeine tablets for busy business owners. We don't need this crap. Busy business owners, think what would happen if we changed the language. When I, so January 2019, running my consultancy, burnout was still kind of the side hustle back then. I was doing all the coaching, I was doing all of the talks, but it wasn't like the income generator. The income generator was my consultancy. And back end of 2018, I really, really wanted to reward my team with something amazing. We had a great year, we're still growing, we've got these amazing new products, services. What can we do? How can I reward my team, reward my company? And I've been seeing lots of stuff about 4 day week. But I mean the true 4 day week. I'm not talking about compressed hours. I'm not talking about operational weeks. I know some of you out there have got an operational week. You force your people to learn 1 day a week. That's not a 4 day week. Compressed hours are compressed hours, right? I'm talking true 4 day working using the 4 day working principles of 100% pay for 80% of the hours worked, as long as you maintain 100% productivity. That's what I'm talking about. So towards the end of 2018, at one of our team meetings, I announced that at the start of 2019, we're going to do this 4 day week trial. It's going to be amazing. We're going to close the business on a Monday, because a lot of our clients don't want to talk to us on Mondays anyway. So we're going to close the business on a Monday. We're all going to take a Monday off. We're going to have a 3 day weekend. This is going to be the best thing that any of us can do, right? It's the best thing ever. Because yes, I could have given them a little bit more money. Could have given them a bonus, could have looked at, and then again, like in some ways, additional pressure because I've got to keep growing the numbers, I've got to keep growing the money, I've got to keep, and it wasn't that I didn't want to reward them with money, but we're also still a relatively new business, and I wanted a different way of reward. We were also a bit rebellious and doing things a bit differently, so I thought, right, well, let's show that we're doing it differently, let's do proper 4 day working. So from January, we're going to close the business on a Monday. 4 day working, these are the hours that we're going to work. Some people wanted some flexibility. Some were doing school drop-offs, some weren't. Some wanted to start a bit earlier, some wanted to finish a bit later. Fine. Pick your hours, 4 day working, this is where we're going to go. And yet at that meeting, looking at their faces, you'd probably have thought I'd told them business was closing. I'd never seen. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And the thinking was, what was worrying them so much was that I then expect them to do 5 days worth of work in 4 days, which would then increase straight. It was like, no, we need to look at what's not adding value. What is not, and that was the first thing, that was like what we started to do to allow us to prepare for this. What is not adding value to us as a business and or to our clients? What's the stuff that we're doing just because we've started doing it? Let's look at what's not adding any value and strip that out. And then if we need to streamline or automate some of our processes, some of our systems, if we need to make some changes to be more productive and to be more effective, let's look at that. But the thinking is not, you need to do 5 days worth of work in four. That's not going to be helpful for anybody. I'll also tell you that when we started that 4 day working, lots of us found it really hard, like really hard. Because what do you do with an extra day? Some people were filling it with volunteering stuff. Some people were filling it with housework. Some people were like, should I get another job? I hadn't changed a salary, but lots of people didn't even know what do you do with an extra day, particularly a day where your kids or your husband or your wife are working? What do you do then? And I thought giving people a day was the best gift ever. But in those very early few months, everybody was really confused. What do you do with the time? Because they think we've got to fill it. If you've given me a day, surely I've got to fill it with stuff. And that's part of this productivity cult. Because we've attached rest to feeling guilty. We've attached our worthiness to busy. And apparently we're not like honourable if we're not hustling. Everything that we do is focused more on output than it is on health and well-being. It's about hours worked, not outcomes. This is what's feeding some of the toxicity that we need to remove if we're going to solve the burnout equation. So that's productivity cult. Maybe have a think about, like, how much of your worth do you attach to busyness? How much guilt do you attach to rest? That's productivity cult, burnout truth number 16. What it really means, the cultural obsession with output over well-being. How to spot it is that busy equals worthy, hustle equals honour, and rest equals guilt. Why it matters is because burnout isn't a glitch here, it's a feature. If you have not already got your podcast companion, head to kellyswingler.com/podcast. Get your podcast companion where you can note down all of your notes for all of these episodes. And if you haven't already got it, you need to get your Burnout Aware Starter Kit. kellyswingler.com. Go to the Start Here tab. Get your Burnout Aware Starter Kit. And start to look at some of the questions you're already asking your clients, right? We become burnout aware coaches by small changes. Burnout ends with awareness. All of us need to be doing everything that we can to be as aware as we possibly can in order that we can end burnout. So that is burnout truth number 16, productivity cult. Next week, I'm going to be back with you, same time, Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. UK, for burnout truth number 17, the empowerment trap. The empowerment trap is what we're discussing next week. Go and have an amazing week. Thanks very, very much for being here again. This is Burnoutology, the podcast, the uncut, unedited, unscripted podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist. Go have an amazing week. I'll be back with you again soon. Take care for now, everybody. Bye-bye.